With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports League Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 285, on our way to 300. This one goes out to Anderson Fajea, who apparently made my co-host a buttload of money last night at LFA. So this goes out to him. Well, thanks for coming to the podcast. Instead of doing recaps, we're actually going to give you picks for the PFL today and then picks for Bellator tomorrow. So no regional recap. Maybe we'll do a brief regional recap this episode, especially since my co-host did well, at least with some of his picks. But we're going to ram some more winning picks into your ear holes. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. And this co-host I keep mentioning is the man known as Gumby, Daniel Vreeland. Let's bring him in now. Hello.
Yeah, we could do a brief recap, but like, you know, we wound up making picks for PFL Challenger Series this past, so with no UFC, obviously. PFL Challenger Series had four fights we broke down. LFA had five fights we broke down. Fury FC had five fights we broke down. And at the time of taping, first of all, Fury FC has not yet happened. It's a Sunday event, and we're taping this Sunday before it happened. Its main event and co-main event have both been canceled.
Oh, perfect. At the Cowboys Ballroom.
Yeah, at the Cowboys Ballroom. Or Dance Hall. Cowboys Dance Hall.
Dance Hall, right. Yes.
So Dimitri Ivey's opponent, Andres Quintana, dropped out with an injury. And then Eric Shelton missed weight by 2 pounds. And his opponent, Yanni Vasquez, was not willing to fight him up 2 pounds, which was a weird one for me. So, yeah, only three of our picks survived there. The PFL Challenger Series, only two of our picks survived there too, because two of the fights fell apart at the last second. So like doing a regional recap seemed kind of silly because we barely had any fights to recap with the exception of LFA 151, which last night we did stellar on. I thought I was going to hit the clean sweep. I did miss the main event. Jose Delano let me down a little bit. Gabriel Santos was a little bit too much for him, but all four of the picks before that all hit. We hit Julia Pollastri. She was negative 210 when we broke her down for the strawweight title fight. She wound up being like almost negative 300 by fight time. So good CLV on that one too. We got Anderson Fajeda beating Millicent Castro. He was plus 300, which is why we dedicated the episode to him. And that closed at plus 300 too. I thought that line was going to move and get a little closer and it didn't. Jonas Bilirino posted at negative 115. He stayed right there and he beat Kyle Machado with a sick body kick. And then we had Marciano Fajeda over Matheus Braun in the opener. He was plus 155 when we broke that fight down. And come fight time, he was actually negative 155. So he completely flipped around. People came to the light. You know, maybe we just move lines here at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. But anyway, we got him with that huge plus money number next to him. And he also won. So 4-1 night on LFA. If you had bet $100 on every single one of those fights, you know, which, again, terrible betting method. Don't do that. But if you had done that, you would have walked away with $489.58.
Very, very nice. And it seems like people in the Discord were doing quite well too.
Yeah, they
They got better lines than we had, I think, too.
Yeah. Somebody, I think it was Ryan H. in the Discord, said that he got Anderson Fajeda right before the fight started at plus 500. So that line might have moved like right when the fight was about to start. There was probably enough money that the books felt like they were on the hook for Millicent Castro. But then they were on the hooks to our Discord channel with Anderson Fajeda.
Yep, that's what we want. We want the books. The books on the hooks. Hey, that's so many T-shirts this episode, Dan. So many T-shirts. Books on the hooks and we move lines. Yeah, so many possibilities. So, all right, this episode, we're going to try to keep that energy going. And we're going to do breakdown PFL Challenger Series. Week two is coming up this week. Week one, kind of what, half the fights fell out? Is that what you said?
Well, one end of the fights fell out on two different fights. They had to find late replacement fighters for both of them. One of them was a really, really weird choice. And then I got a little clarity, too, on PFL Challenger Series. They are apparently signing each episode exactly one person to be in the season. So this one... They, I believe they picked Thad Jean, who beat Eric Alaquin. Yeah. So Thad Jean will be in this season of PFL. And so maybe at the end of this episode, I'll give you who I think will be the person or the woman who will be in the featherweight season.
Excellent. Since you had Thad Jean to lose his fight last week, that actually, hopefully you can know this.
And actually, of the PFL Challenger Series fights I had, because there only wound up being two picks, I wound up going 0-2. So it's a good thing my PFL... or my LFA picks look so good. My PFL ones last week did not.
Yep. So take that with a grain of salt heading into this. But no, this week he's going to do much better because he's on the high of the FA picks. And for sure his Fury fights that actually happened this week, for sure those picks are going to hit too. And before we give you some winning picks, I got to tell you about WynnBET. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. Plus, the NFL playoffs are here. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long-shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, off on to the PFL. PFL Challenger Series 2013, week two, goes down this Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern on Fubo TV. Four fights as per usual. It's going down Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. This time they are doing the women's featherweight weight class, which is weird because that's not even a weight class, Dan.
I mean, it is a weight class. So I hear what you're saying because like you're hating on the fact that like the UFC won't actually make this a real weight class.
Yes.
But like outside of the UFC, if the UFC like put effort into really making this weight class a thing, like the UFC just like went at it, I think they could find enough women that would make it, you know, probably still the fourth best division in the UFC's of the women's divisions. Like it would still be worse than featherweight and fly or bantamweight and flyweight and strawweight, but like it could fill, like it could be a legitimate division, maybe as legitimate as bantamweight even if they just went after it. But like that's the whole joke is that they don't.
Yep, exactly. The PFL is going after it though. So we're, All four fights are going to be women's featherweight, so we got some inexperienced women on this card. We'll see how much Dan knows about some of these women. He does seem to know about everyone, so we shall see. Starting with Michelle Montagu versus Shaquita Amador Woods, also known as Queen Onyx Pyre.
I saw that nickname. I was trying to figure out if I could find out where it came from or what. Yeah. No real word because she's 0-0, and according to Tapology, has never fought amateur either, which I'll fill you in on later, is not actually true.
Yeah, I think I saw that she had one brief amateur fight, right? 17 seconds or something.
It was very brief. Yeah. I got a chance to see it, actually, because I was digging for anything I could find out about this woman, because I'd never heard of her before, trying to figure out how she got a Challenger Series fight at 0-0 with no amateur fights, and then obviously I found the one very brief amateur fight. So
she fights out of the Body Shop, right? Which is the
McKees.
Yeah.
AJ and Antonio. Yeah.
Antonio McKees spot. So I'm sure that gives her a little bit of a rub. Other than her nickname and her 0-0 record, I can tell you she's 2 inches taller than Montague. That's it. I can also tell you Montague is the wild one. So we have a couple of good nicknames going up against each other. Montague, 2-0 with 2 submissions, 1-0 in PFL. Used to fight at women's lightweight, which really isn't a weight class. That's all I got. We don't have lines yet, right?
No, there's no lines yet, but I can give you roughly what I think here. So I think Montague is going to be a sizable favorite here. You're probably going to see her upwards of negative 300 when it posts, and I bet you it inflates. So if you're looking to like squeeze her into a parlay or something, do it as soon as the line drops, because I think more and more people will be like, the books didn't even line it as big as it should be. And she's just going to be like a popular fighter to just like throw in every single bet as a parlay, because she's a lot better than Chiquita Amador Woods here. She, if you've seen any of her fights, she's pretty good on the feet in terms of like keeping herself safe. So she got really good head movement. She bounces in and out really well. She does good with her jab and not getting hit. She's not always super accurate with her striking, because I think she's working on being so defensive and making sure she doesn't get hit that sometimes it like affects her offense. But mostly the reason she's so elusive on the feet like that is because she wants to grapple. She's a beast on the mat. She's absolutely like a jiu-jitsu ace. She fought Liv Parker, who is a name that's like, you know, 145 pounder name or 135 pounder name on the regional scene, who's like been, you know, people have said she's like ready for the next level. And Montague went in there and first of all, she slammed her like from a almost like a German suplex position. She like slammed her and then jumped right on her back and submitted her in pretty much no time after staying safe on the feet, which is good because Parker's got some big hands too. So Montague like has a smart enough game plan to keep it on her or to stay away from the big stuff on the feet and is good at getting the fight to the ground. And as far as Woods goes, you know, like you said, we don't know a terrible lot about her because she's got no pro fight. She's only got one amateur fight and it was seconds long. She trains under the McKees, AJ and Antonio. In that one AMI fight, which I saw, she rushed in very sloppily with her hands and just kind of like threw whatever she could. And she got hit on like some return shots and stuff like that. She looked like if somebody shot a takedown on her, they'd probably just plow right through her because her feet were like set in stone where they were. And she was sitting down on what she was throwing, but she did sit out on what she was throwing and it landed big. So I think the reason PFL liked her and signed her is because like, if you see that one fight from her, she's got incredible power. And you're like, man, if she's just like, if she winds up being like one of those one touch knockout champions here, this could be a big hit. But at the same time, because Montague is just like so elusive on the feet and she's so good at staying away from that stuff, I don't see her getting drawn into it. And if she gets really, you know, if she gets pressured early on from Woods, I think she just body locks her, winds up with the takedown or winds up with the slam, and this gets a submission in the first round.
But please, if you are going to squeeze her into parlay, please get consent beforehand. Correct, Dan?
Hey!
You can't be squeezing these ladies into parlays without asking first. So make sure Montague, the wild one, is down for it. But all right, so we're going to get her hopefully around minus 300, hopefully better than that. But you think it's going to open around there?
Yeah, that's pretty much where I think, you know, I don't think it will get any better than that. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right, especially now that people hear that Gumby is in on it. So whenever your book has the line, jump on it. Hopefully it's win bet. All right, moving on. Carolina Solbakk versus Senna Vander Vierdonk. And once again, featherweight as per usual. Vander Vierdonk, 3-1 with 3 submissions, never been finished in her 1 loss. This is her PFL debut. She did win her last fight, and she's a year younger than Solbakk. Solbakk 4-0 with 3 submissions. This is also her PFL debut. She used to fight used to fight at bantamweight, I believe it would have been, instead of have her listed as used to fight at featherweight. This is at featherweight. So I believe she fought down at bantamweight. She also fought bare knuckle boxing. She's 3 inches taller than Vander Vierdonk. That's all I got.
Yeah. So for me, when I was looking at this fight and I was trying to line it, you know, like they're, get this, the most experienced fighters on this card. Yeah. I think Sobek is going to be a pretty decent sized favorite, maybe not as big as Montague. So probably in the like negative 235, 240 range, something around there. And the reason why is because, first of all, she's got really nice combinations on the feet. If you look at the way she strikes, she's not one of those, I throw one punch and I get the hell out of there. She puts it together pretty nice. I do worry about her if she were to fight somebody like, you know, we talked about Chiquita Amador-Woods before. I would worry about her a little bit if she was fighting somebody like that, because her chin does come up the longer her exchanges go. So if she does fight somebody who's got like big hands, like that could be a problem for Sobek in the future. But she's got like some really good, I think she has a judo background. It says wrestling on Tapology, but man, when you look at her takedown style, it's all like head and arm throws and stuff like that. So like, I feel like she's probably done some judo or has found a way to integrate her wrestling into judo throws, because the head and arm throws are clearly a big part of her game. She also is really good to take the back. She's really good at submissions. So like, you know, nice combinations, maybe a little dangerous defensively on the feet, and pretty good offensively on the mat too. And then we got Verdonk, who she has some decent takedowns, but her only loss in her career, which I went back and watched, came when she just could not take her opponent down. And when she couldn't take her opponent down, she wound up just pressing her against the cage and trying time after time after time after time, and got so freaking tired. And as a result, got outboxed worse than she already was, because she was already getting like worked on the feet. So then she kept desperately trying for these takedowns, got super tired, got worked on the feet even worse, and then started getting like tripped a few times. And I think she pulled half guard at the bottom of the, or at the end of the fight. Like she tried to pull guard, but she was like even too tired to actually get a guard. So like, knowing that Sobek has like clearly like some sort of judo or wrestling background, I think she's just going to stuff Vander Verdonk like as many times as she wants to. And already, like the other fighter who beat Vander Verdonk, I think she's just going to be able to outwork her on the feet before she's tired. And then after she's tired, it will be even worse. So I expect Sobek to win this one. And I expect her to keep it on the feet for most of it too.
All right. So Sobek, and what's the number again you said?
I'd say like negative 235.
235 Sobek. All right. No juicy dogs yet. Let's move on and see if we can find one. We're up to the co-main event already. Jeslyn Michelle versus Evelyn Martins. I will tell you about Martins first. Spartan is the nickname. She's 2-0. Her PFL debut is now. She has not fought since February of 2021, so she's been out of the cage for 2 years. She's 13 years younger than Michelle. Used to fight down at bantamweight. Michelle, the wrecking ball, 2-0 with one knockout. Both those fights were in PFL, however. She's 2 inches taller than Martins, and she used to fight up at lightweight. That's all I got.
Yeah, so I think Michelle is going to come in as a favorite here. I'm going to say, like, probably negative 200 to, like, plus 170 for Martins. And the reason mostly being is that, like, Michelle is, like, somebody who's a little bit more well-known. You know, the records are pretty much the same. But, like you said, Michelle has already fought in PFL Challenger Series twice. She's got like an extended amateur background that includes fighting for organizations like King of the Cage and stuff like that. She has a stoppage win for PFL Challenger Series. So like she is known. People have seen her before. Whereas Evelyn Martins, people have just not seen her. She's on the Brazilian regionals. Oh, I guess she fought for Titan, right? She fought for Titan. So, but anyway, I think the fact that she's on a layoff, she hasn't fought in a while, and the fact that she's, you know, a little bit lesser known, I think Martins is going to come in here as the dog, and I love her as an underdog spot here. I think, like I said, like plus 170 for her. The reason I like her is because when you watch Michelle fight, it's very clear she likes to turn this into a jiu-jitsu fight. She's got a lot of leg kicks on the feet, but apart from that, she's exceptionally slow when she's striking. Martins is much faster, and Martins has also got the wrestling to be the person on top in the jiu-jitsu. You look at Michelle, like, she was so desperate for the fight to be on the ground. When her opponents take her down, she just, like, lets it happen. No resistance whatsoever. So if Martins isn't liking what's happening on the feet, and to be honest, I think she will, if she isn't liking what's happening on the feet, I really do think she should just be able to, you know, take it to the ground and stay safe, because she's good enough with her jiu-jitsu defense, too. So I like the much younger Martins here. I'm hoping, like I said, plus 170 underdog here. But like, it wouldn't surprise me if it opened a little closer too.
Plus 170 is a pretty nice number though. So hopefully it is even bigger than that though. Come betting time. So there's our first dog of the day. Perhaps our only dog. We shall see. We go to the main event now. Amanda, Leave, or is it Levy?
Levy, I think.
Levy, yes.
Levy. Yeah, Levy.
Amanda Levy versus, Naranjargal. Naranjargal Tisundush.
Sindeush.
Sindeush. Okay, there you go. Sindeush is 2-0, one knockout, one submission. So she finished both of her wins. This is her PFL debut. Used to fight down at bantamweight. She's an inch taller than Levy. Levy 1-0 with one submission, 1-0 in PFL. So the only fight was in PFL. She used to fight at lightweight, and she's got extensive grappling experience on her resume. And she's also 5 years younger than Jacinda Duyush. Mush. That's all I got.
Sindeush.
Sindeush. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. So you guys might remember Sindeush was one of the ones who I threw in the Discord not that long ago. She was on an LFA card, LFA 144. She was fighting Cheyenne Bowers, who is somebody who's got like a laundry list of amateur fights. And I was like, go get in on Sindeush. She was betting off, I think it was plus 300 she was against Bowers. Or at least when I saw it, and then she absolutely demolished Bowers in the fight. So, I actually went into breaking down this fight thinking I was going to be all over Sindeush. For people who don't remember what I said about her, she is an Olympic judoka. She was in the, 2018 Olympics for judo. Her judo looks really good. She's exceptional when she's on the ground as well. As we saw in that Bowers fight, she was able to take her down and instantly hit an armbar. We've seen her in the past with some pretty good hands on the feet. And with Levy, you know, like I kind of was thinking she was going to be like Hulk Barbosa was this last week, who really let me down because he, you know, has an extensive jiu-jitsu background similar to Levy, although much more polished and much more, you know, prestigious than Levy, but like that same kind of like jujitsu first background. But then I went back and I watched Amanda Levy in her last fight, and the interesting thing for me is that in this fight, you know, Sindeush, who I know who has really good power in her hands, she and is really dominant on the ground, I actually saw an older fight of hers where she got taken down pretty early in the fight. So while she's good offensively in her jiu-jitsu, we saw with Bowers, I actually saw in the fight before that, which she had in Mongol FC, which was an organization I had previously never seen a fight of, Mongol FC, she got taken down early in that fight, had to like work back to her feet, looked like she was struggling defensively before she landed like a big right hand that ended the fight and wound up winning. But I think the interesting thing about this one is Levy is actually much more technical on the feet than I would have expected or that I remembered from watching her previously. She got like really strong low kicks. She feints a ton to try to like deter those big hands and to keep the right distance. She's pretty durable. She got hit with some pretty hard shots in her last fight and just kind of like survived. And really, I think at the end of the day here, the difference maker is I think her offensive grappling is good enough to get Sindeush down. And I think the like submission game and the submission threat from Levy is so much better than Sindeush. So while I went into this thinking I was going to like Sindeush, I actually really like Levy in this spot. I think she's going to surprise a lot of people. I was just looking at, you know, like some of the breakdowns that I know other people were looking into this fight. I think it's probably going to be a pick'em. Sindeush coming off of LFA and having a big finish over, you know, like kind of a semi notable name as far as like, you know, 1-0 fighters in LFA go, and Levy having like the jiu-jitsu background, but like maybe not as high of profile MMA wins. I think this one's probably going to be like a pick 'em, but I like Amanda Levy in this spot.
All right, there we go. Levy, hopefully it's a pick 'em. Hopefully it's a dog, but, we'll take it around pick 'em range. He's got Martins, hopefully, as a big dog. Sobek as a favorite. And Montagu as a favorite, correct?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Awesome. Make sure you get in the Discord and you can chat all these fights with us. It was quite jumping this weekend, even though there's no UFC. There was a lot of people talking fights with you, Gumby.
Yeah, LFA was a hit this weekend, not just in wins, but also just like, you know, people coming to hang out and talking about LFA, which is, I don't know about you, it seems like it has become the unofficial organization of our Discord. Am I wrong about that?
It
like,
could be, because you guys seem to find nice lines constantly, and you take advantage of it.
Yeah, and on the year, hang on, I got those numbers sitting right here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm keeping numbers now, which is a thing.
Good.
So 4-1, 4-1, and 3-2. Yeah, I'm 11-4 this year on LFA picks.
Right. And so, a lot of big dogs though too, right?
Yeah, a plus 300 in there. Let's see. I also had a plus 180, a plus 155, a pair of negative 110s. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a good year for LFA.
Fantastic. But there's no LFA this week, right?
No LFA this week. I think they're back. They're back in not a long time though. While you're closing up shop here, I'll look up when the next LFA is.
Yep. So that is it for PFL. But we're gonna be back tomorrow. Gumby begged and pleaded to do a Bellator show this week, so we're gonna do a Bellator show tomorrow. So make sure you get into that. People tend to like our Bellator episodes. So
LFA 152 will be on Friday, February 10th. So we got a couple weeks.
All right. Excellent. Until then, get in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Get in the Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account for us. I am at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. Read all our good stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Read all my MMA stuff and enter my UFC Pick'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. And listen to Gumby's other podcast, the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which runs every week. He has interviews with fighters and he does some picks and that type of thing, you know, typical Gumby stuff. So as I said, we'll be back tomorrow very, very shortly to let you know about a big Bellator event going down this week. Until we return, I will remain Queen Onyx Pyre, Jeff Fox. He will remain the wild one, Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.